Peace, this is Daddy-O from Stetsasonic. You're listening to The Odd Man on the Down With The King show on Maximum FM Hip Hop.
Back we are here on Down With The King. It's The Odd Man, and you're listening to Maximum FM Hip Hop, where we give you nothing but hip hop hits. We got a legend joining us once again, and I know I'm gonna mess his lineup, but I'm gonna try it anyways. You know, he's got that father type flow, so that's why they call him Daddy-O, man. Did I get it right, Daddy-O?
You got it right.
I do. Listen, I'm gonna be real. I was one of those guys that was always a wannabe. Like I thought I could rap, and I won't lie, man. I really didn't have no flow. So when I can spit it out there, man.
Listen, it's all right, man.
I appreciate you kicking it here, and you have the distinction of being the first two-time guest, so that's awesome. Appreciate that, man.
Oh yeah, that's dope, man. Thanks a lot.
No doubt. But we specifically want to talk about the new album, Everybody But Chris. I mean, off the bat, I know I said off air just now, I think it's an incredible job you did with it, putting it together. But let's start with the title, Everybody But Chris. I have the understanding, but what the meaning behind that. But tell our listeners what that's all about.
So when I came up with the idea for this album, let me go back. So when I started writing this record, I didn't start writing it for myself. I felt like there was all these missing stories in hip hop, like just things that wasn't talked about. And I started writing, I didn't do the tracks, but I started writing these choruses to some of these tracks that I had. Some of them, because the ones that have choruses, those are the ones that I wrote early, because a lot of the records don't have hooks. And so the idea was, I'm going to find like some dope rapper. I'm going to give him this, this concept. He's going to fill in the rest of it. I'm going to do most of it, but he's going to fill in the rest of it and really be able to kind of talk about these things that are just unaddressed. That rapper never showed up. I never met the person. So I started writing to the stuff myself. And what I began to start, once I started hearing myself back on the tracks, the one thing I started questioning was, how come I sound like this and my peers don't? I don't get it. Like, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. So, I'm going through my head. I'm thinking, man, Miles sounded better right before he died, Even Quincy probably plays, even though he probably ain't picked up a horn in a long time, he probably still plays better now than he did when he was a teenager in Dizzy's band. And, I'm watching Springsteen, and, as of recent, Led Zepp put out another album. And if Steely Dan wants to put out a record, they just put out a record. It may not be the first Steely Dan record you heard, but you ain't going to be mad. And then we don't even want to talk about Bono and U2 and all the rest of them. And I'm just like, why do we sound like that? If anybody should be sounding better with age and as we go along with experience, I'm not even going to use the word age. If anyone should sound better with experience, it should be us. We talk on records. We got all these great concepts. We got all these great, and why don't we? So that was a whole concept. And I thought about all my peers. I said, man, the only guy that I could give the ultimate props to is Chris. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that if you talk to him today, or if he started rapping today, he'd be rapping about, something that happened on the news today.
Right.
He's the only guy that's, to me, untouchable in hip-hop. He's the only hip-hop untouchable. And I said, well, then everybody else is fair game. And I'm really not looking at Quan or Thugger or Meek, because they little boys. You know what I'm saying? It's stupid for me to even think about them. But when I do think about my peers, last two LL efforts, trash, and I could go on and on, but I'm just saying it just... even though I liked the last Rakim effort, I had to stop arguing with my friends because I'm not one that stops an argument. I talk a lot. But my friends are like, yeah, dude, you could just get out of here with that, man. They're trying to convince us that record was dope. It wasn't dope.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, what does that mean? And so I've come up with this philosophy that there is no neutrality in hip-hop. And a lot of these guys got through on neutrality.
Oh,
Rakim
man.
Said the biggest lie in hip hop. He said it ain't where you from, it's where you at.
Yeah.
If there's never been a bigger lie in hip hop, because it's always been about where you from. There is no reason that these guys, Bambada and them, would have been shouting, hip hop started here, and Run would have been saying the Hollis Boulevard forever, and Jay-Z wouldn't be shouting out Marcy, and Wayne shouting out the Magnolia Project. I could go on and on. Scarface, 40, Snoop, Cube, even the movie is called Straight Outta Compton. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
It, it's always, but there was a time that neutrality. There was a lot of people that slipped in neutrality. I'm making my list, but I noticed Rakim's one of those guys that slipped in through neutrality. EPMD is one of those groups. And I'm not saying they didn't make great records.
Sure.
They
slipped
in under the guise of neutrality. And I figure the reason that they probably don't sound the way they can sound is because they had no backstory. So here's my point. I don't think I'm a radio artist. I don't really think I'm going to be that pop radio artist. I don't even ever think Stet was. We just got lucky and had Red Alert and Magic and a few other people that was like yourself at that time that played our records. But what I do believe, I'm right below radio. So if my records could go right below radio, there's no reason that Rakim can't hear my album, get fired up, and make a radio record. Because I really feel like true school artists, you know, big out, you know, and, I, you know, it kind of goes with the whole thing that me and Lion is doing over at True School Entertainment. True school artists should be holding that reign. Should they be Meek or any of them? Absolutely not. I don't think that they even should do it. Should they be Fetty Wap? No,
right.
Ever.
Right.
But there's a prominence that they should hold. And what they ended up sounding like is dry old men and actually having no respect in the culture at all.
Right. Right.
Like the whole, they end up just having no respect in the culture, except somebody saying, yo, what's up, OG? But other than that, people don't even look at them. Like nobody calls them and say,
right.
yo, do a record with me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And that's kind of stupid to me because we should at least be being called for choruses or advice or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So that was a whole concept behind it, that Chris was the only bar that I think can't be touched, but everybody else is fair game.
You ever had that conversation with him about that? Like, even about this album, the title? Did you at
with
all
Chris?
At any point? Yeah.
No. He's gonna be super surprised. He's probably heard it by now, but I mean, it's only been a week or a little less than a week. But he's gonna, he's gonna be super surprised. He doesn't even know I have that much respect for him. He knows I love him, but he doesn't know I have that much respect for him. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I think it'd even be a shock to him. Like, yo, he really see me like that? I know he sees himself like that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And there was something that he said a long time ago that kind of got me on that tip. Because I remember somebody asking Chris one time, where will hip-hop be in the next 10 years? You know what Chris said to them? Wherever I take it.
But that does sound like Chris, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and that was the whole concept. It's like, yo, man, step your game up to the degree that you could be liked by everybody. You know what I'm saying? When I say liked by everybody, I don't mean the little phony likes. I mean respected by everybody. And respected based on your, you know, because this is what we do. Like, we, you know, some of us DJ, but we're not DJs by trade. Some of us even do graffiti, but we're not graffiti artists by trade. We rhyme on records, right? We rhyme for a living. We rhyme to eat. I always say we rhyme to eat. So get respected as a rhymer. And don't be respected as a rhymer just because somebody knows talking all that jazz or Sally.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that's some of my greatest work.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? It's no way that I'm shooting that down at all. That's part of my legacy. But
right.
The bottom line is that if I only got Sally and talking all that jazz to rely, I might as well just go work at FedEx.
Right. Stepping up, really.
I need to hang up my microphone.
Sure. And you said the L word, legacy, and I love that because it's never about the here and now for this exact moment. You always got to be thinking about, you know, what you're gonna do 5, 10, 15, you know, what are people going to say about you when you're not there to speak or show how good you were, how, you know, demonstrate your skills?
Absolutely.
And I wonder how often or how much time is spent thinking about that legacy.
Well, I think that, again, I think and under the guise of neutrality, probably maybe all of them thought about it. But once neutrality was gone, you know what I'm saying, and other coasts made that clear. You know, by the time, you know, Scarface and them was doing what they was doing out of Houston, and the Clique came out of the Bay, and, you know, Snoop and them started their little thing out of L.A., you know, and it was more than that, you know what I'm saying? It was more than Snoop, because, I mean, you know, you had Snoop and them on the Overground, but then you had guys like Freestyle Fellowship and them on the Underground, you know, Ganja K and all them guys. Once those guys began to start stomping their legacy for their turfs, neutrality went out the window. And then only the guys who could represent New York strongly stayed in the picture. Right? And so, and that was by hook or crook. It didn't matter what they were saying, but they had a strong representation of who they were and where they were from.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it ended up being, you know, Biggie and Jay, you know, surprisingly, and it ended up being Tupac for the West Coast, surprisingly. I'm saying that because they're still not the best MCs that the East or the
Right,
West Coast
right.
has seen, you know what I'm
Right.
saying? But surprisingly, but those were the guys that didn't allow neutrality
Gotcha.
to mess with them. Those were the guys that said,
Right.
man, I don't care what nobody says, I am just going to shout where I'm from. I'm going to make sure that people understand that this is a style that's here, that originated here. I'm going to give them a taste of what my block looks like and all of those particular things. And so, you know, I think that under the guise of neutrality, probably all of them thought about legacy because they thought the legacy was going to be neutral. And it
Right.
was just going to be some neutral hip hop legacy. It never panned out like that. It never pans out like a neutral hip hop legacy and you all get put in the same category and you're all in neutral and you're all in the same line. It never pans out like that. And it hardly pans out like that in any profession, in any silo, in any area of work. It hardly ever pans out like that. Even in architects, great architects from Atlanta pride themselves on building Lenox Mall. And I actually know two of them. One built the whole Lenox Square. The other guy built the Lindbergh Square. They pride themselves on that. Great architects in New York pride themselves on big New York buildings. Great architects in Chicago pride themselves on Chicago buildings. So it doesn't shake out that, oh, these are just the great architects. That's not the way it goes. Never does. So you know what I'm saying? It's weird. When the neutrality finished, then it was like, do I want a legacy? Do I need a legacy? And my thing is, you know, I may do a million other things. You know, I'm still involved in other efforts and stuff like that. But as an MC, I try to keep that intact. It's the one thing I can respect about Will Smith that, and with some of these guys, I can't. Will's still nice. Like, you go on YouTube right now, see, there was this party he did like last year with him and I think Dougie was there or something. And he got on the mic and he killed it. Because as an MC, he keeps that within the same thing. As an actor, he's Will Smith over here. As an MC, he's over here. And he's not going to allow that to be interrupted. And that's my point. My point is that I don't want to hear you talk about, because somebody made a point to me. So Dario, what are you saying? These guys can make the argument that they don't need rap no more. I said, then they should have never needed rap in the first place.
The first place, exactly.
You know, that's not a great thing to say. It's like, oh, I'm beyond rap now. Nobody gets beyond it like
No,
that.
no, no. It's your foundation. It's
Yeah,
you know, you talk about
absolutely.
where you started, where you're from. It's a part of you, and the reality is, Daddy-O, is that, you know, the cats that knew you from day one, they don't care about all that act and the other stuff that you did, because
They
they
don't.
were there when you were on the block, when you they were kicking
Absolutely.
rhymes with you, so you can't convince them
Absolutely.
that you're beyond rap. It's impossible.
You can't. You can't. So that's the concept. The concept is just to raise the bar, to show that the bar can be raised, to show that, you know, at my age or at any of their ages that we can sound this way. You know, it's grown man rap, that there's conversations that grown men can have, that there's concepts that grown men could talk about that have nothing to do with the kids, and we don't have to pop mollies or drink promethazine or whatever to be part of the mix. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have our own issues and that we should be able to deal with that. The other thing, something Chuck said to me, which is Chuck came and saw me, because he's frequently in Atlanta. So it was about a year and a half, I think, maybe a little less. Chuck came, and me and him sat down and ate some dinner. We broke some bread. And one of the things that he said to me, he said, Daddy-o, it's about the body of work. You know, it's about the body of work. It's about the body. Now, he might have said that about 8, 9 times during the conversation, which I got it. But until I released this album, I really didn't get it. Because, like I was talking to Lion the other day, because we're now trying to talk about the road. I said, yo, I actually put together a show. And somebody in that crowd was like, yell out something from You Can Be a Daddy But Never Daddy-o. And then I started seeing the body of work because, you know, it started kind of coming clear to me that, you know, it's more than just the step records, you know what I'm saying? Now this is a second solo record. So, you know, that could be a 45-minute show real easy. You know what I'm saying? I have to kind of figure out, you know, which ones to do and all of those particular things. But it is about the body of work. You know, it really is about the body of work. And then, you know, when you look at music in general, not to say that hip-hop is not its own silo, but when you look at music in general, that's exactly what happens in music. It is about the body of work because now that we all got iTunes, like, for instance, me, I may throw all, what is it, 5 now. Now, I think it's now 5 D'Angelo albums, if I count the live one at the Jazz Cafe, and just put it on shuffle.
Right, right. Yep.
You understand what I'm trying to say? Definitely. We definitely do that with Sade. We've been doing that with Sade for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then when she releases a new album, we just throw that in there and put that in the shuffle.
Right, right. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So it is about it is about the body of work. You know, yeah, sometimes you just get on it and where you just want to hear one album. But very often, if you're a fan of that artist, you just throw
it
on.
You want to hear it all.
Exactly.
You want to hear it all.
Exactly.
Yeah. And when you're in the crowd, you know, you don't want to hear just one. You want to hear the old stuff. And, you know, sometimes artists will get up on stage. They'll get up on stage and they might do some new stuff, but the old stuff is what people came there for.
Of course.
So,
of course.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
so, I mean, it's about the body of work. So I think that that's the other thing is, and, you know, if you're still living, and so I guess this is part of the message too, right? If you're still living, there's probably no logical reason that you couldn't be contributing to your body of work.
Right, right. Yep, makes sense. Makes sense. You looking forward to getting back out on the road again and performing?
You know what? Spectrasonic has a show coming up on this Sunday, right? So, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about rehearsal. I'm excited about this Stet show. So yeah, I think I guess it's just experience, or you know what I mean? Like, I got stuff to say. You know what I'm saying? I have stuff to say. I mean, you know, one of my favorite, and this might sound as a surprise to some of your listeners, but one of my favorite acts on the road, I'll go to my grave with this, has been Ice-T. And I toured with Ice-T for years. And the one thing that Ice used to do something that I was never able to do that I'm going to be able to do now. He used to talk a lot.
Okay.
Ice would drop mad records, but he would talk a lot. And he was more political than Public Enemy, I'll be honest. You know, this guy had a F. Tip of Gore movement and all of that type of stuff. You know, Ice-T is the guy that made me remember because, you know, when I seen all these, you know, years ago and I seen a couple of cats come out and support for Al Gore, I'd be like, yo, y'all remember Tip of Gore tried to kill hip-hop?
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? It's very interesting concept. But Ice-T was able to, like, do these shows. Shows was hot. You know, shows was dope. Songs was dope. But then what he would do in the middle is he would have, like, all of these dope conversations with the audience. You know what I'm saying? Talk to them. And, you know, that's when he got that whole, I don't care how you get my album, I don't care if you steal it, just get it, and all of those particular things. But it was really dope. And, you know, that's what I meant when I said at the top of this little treatise that I'm doing about being able to have the experience and be able to talk to them, you know, and say certain things to them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I can stop in the middle of my show, you know, and talk to them.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. No, that's that. And that's that as a fan coming to the show, you really feel a connection to artists. And you know, an artist want to connect with the audience and their fans. And that if there's anything that does it, talking to them definitely will. No doubt about that.
So that part, I say, definitely puts me in a place of wanting to get back on the road.
Nice. The overall album, as I say again, I loved about it a lot is just the there's certain edginess to some of the tracks. You just we hear you loud and clear, and it's true that you wanted to make yourself heard, and you know that came across. I'm going on the assumption that was a very conscious thing that you were trying to do.
Oh yeah, I mean you know. It's the same thing. Okay, so I know the next question for a lot of people, and you know, it might not be your next question, but for a lot of people will be, you know, okay, so is Spec going to make a new record? So we have some ideas. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about was the fact that I got to write on this record. Mm. I didn't have to think about producing on this record.
Right.
And I think it helped. Especially at this time. You know, maybe in the past it was a little different. It was very inclusive. If you look at, you know, all the Step records, and especially the initial record, right, the On Fire record, you'll see produce, mix, you know, concepted, right. Stetsasize, all that by Stetsasonic. I mean, it was, and even all our rest of our records, even though we started taking individual production credits, we were all there when we were making those records. So it was just, you know, it was all of these kind of things. And if I'm adding a hi-hat or I'm, you know, saying, hey, don't do that chorus though. Let me call my friend who plays the trombone or whatever, right?
Right.
So it was a little different because it was a little more than just writing. This time I got to kind of write and concept these records out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I did write a bunch of the hooks and all of those particular things, and I sang every hook except cracking. So everything, every time you hear singing, like you hear on the I Heard a Hustler Say, that's me. When you hear Who the Cat Fits, that's me. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So, but I got a chance to write. And I think that kind of made some of the difference in what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? Because I could really get my point across without worrying about, oh, this hi-hat needs to be here.
Right.
Oh, I need to get back in the studio tomorrow and move this bass line around or take it up an octave. I didn't have to do any of that. You know, I just had to kind of sit there and write and figure out, you know, my only, issue with this album, and it wasn't a bad issue, was whether or not I wanted to put hooks or not. And a lot of times you might not hear hooks because I just didn't want one. I just wanted to say something. And that was it. Sometimes I wanted, like in a record like CeeLo Dice, I wanted to say it for a small amount of time. On a record like Graffiti, I wanted to say it for a large amount of time.
Gotcha.
But I just wanted to say what I wanted to say, you know. And then, you know, if it makes sense, like on I Heard a Hustle Say, Kraken, or, you know, or Psychedelic Sound, to have a hook, then it made sense to have a hook. But if it didn't, I wasn't trying to bust my behind to put like a record with a whole bunch of hooks. You know what I'm saying? Like I got to the point where I was really able to be very hip hop with this record and say, you know what, I rhyme on record. However this comes out of time. Shortstop, I got a hook on Shortstop, it comes at the very end. MC, I got a hook on MC, it comes at the very end and that's it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You never hear that again. Once I'm finished the hook, the work is over.
That's it.
You know, and it's what I wanted to do. So I was able to kind of get my point across because I didn't have to worry about producing and all that. I just had to worry about, you know, writing and rapping.
Which is, the less hat you have to wear, what allows you to do is focus a bit more. So I hear that loud and clear.
And I want to try to get steady in that mode, too. I want to, like, see. And I know we got mad producers in the group and stuff, but I want to...
Sure.
I mean, it's okay if Bobby DB and Paul make the records because they ain't got a rhyme.
Right.
But I don't want to see us as the MCs have to jump into production like that. I just want to be able to sit back and just make these records, man.
Sure.
Just write what we can say, the kind of stuff we want to say.
No doubt. I want to give a shout out to my man Lion real quick because...
Oh yeah, absolutely.
When he when he told me about the album, and I remember as I was listening to it, I actually hit him up and I said, "Yo, I love this." And he said,
Right.
"Have you heard the whole thing yet?" And I'm like, "No, not yet, but I love it." And he said, "Wait till you hear Hail Mary. Wait till you hear Hail Mary. You gotta hear Hail Mary." And I was like, "Okay, I can't wait to hear it." And I heard, I was like, "Wow!" Like, I mean, you think about it, a tribute to Tupac, essentially, is what you offered up. But sort of talk about that track, because again, that's another powerful one.
Well, so there's a group that we're putting together, Rich Nice and I, called Escapism. The idea is to do what we call B-boy rock. So it's a little different than hip-hop rock. I would say like Run DMC is more hip-hop rock or rap rock. But B-boy rock is like taking what Mel and Flash and maybe, Macedon Committee or Jazzy Five or any of those groups that happened before records started, and kind of putting that with like some real angst rock and roll activity. So you'll hear the one, two, like, it's all that back up off the ropes feeling, kind of bashed up and clashed up against this really kind of heavy rock and roll screaming energy, right? And so it was Rich, it was Rich's idea, because he was like, "Yo, we could kill Hail Mary." And I was like, "You sure?" And he was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Okay, Rich, I got one prerequisite. If we do this, we got to do it really, really loud." You know what I'm saying? Because I see where Pac is with it, and I don't want to be nowhere near him, because I'm just going to sound whack and weak next to that. You know, because he's got his own way of kind of delivering that. He's a sentimental dude. He's probably the best sentimental rapper ever in life. Nas might come close, but probably not all the way. You know what I'm saying? And then other guys try to do it, and it just sounds corny. You know, but this guy makes Dear Mama and all that stuff like in his sleep. Right? This is Tupac all day. Brenda's Got a Baby. This is him. He got this, man. And so I said, I can't try to go sentimental. You know, I'm listening to his regular Hail Mary and his first line, "I ain't killer, but don't push me." You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I can't do, we can't. It's got to be loud. So he's like, "No, we can put together, me and my brother put together the track, and we'll put together." So we let me hear the track, and I said, "Okay, the track is right. And let me show you," you know what I'm saying? And so we did it, and it came out good, man. I mean, it came out real good. It definitely shows a side of some of the stuff that I want to do a little bit more of, because I do believe that energy is, again, I mean, it's some missing pieces that people are not hearing, you know. So, so that's one thing. And then, me and Lion are gonna do some things. And I don't know if you know this, but Lion's a rock and roll singer.
You know, we talked when you told me that a while back, and I remember when you said,
yeah.
"You ain't gonna believe this, Odd, but this is," I was
Right.
like, "Okay."
So we're gonna do some things. So there's some room there, because again, even like jazz, there's definitely some similarities between hip hop and rock and roll, just in terms of the angst and the kind of anti-systemish, energy. So we like to match, we like to mix and match those energies. And I definitely wanted to, I thought about it, but I talked to Lion about it, and he said, "Yeah, put it on the album." We thought about holding it, but for a little later. But we said, you know what, we could do this one. And hey, look, I done came to the conclusion, I'm already writing new records. I already got another album ready for February, done. And I'm already writing like four more records that was really supposed to be on this album, which will end up being the beginning of a third album.
So essentially, you're not slowing down anytime soon. That's what
No. I got too much to say, man. I thought about it, man. I was like, "Yo, man, so much to say. And why am I just sitting around?" Like, you know what I'm saying? Because what I have to do is I have to sit there and listen to rap, which I listen to everything. Right, and I love, there's a lot of stuff I like. Like I like Wayne a lot, Quan. I like Quan a lot better by himself than I did with the stuff that he did with Baby and Thug. But I listen to it, you know what I'm saying? Thug, I'm not so much into him, but I mess around. but I listen to rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, I listen to rap, and I listen, you know, I don't just listen to old rap. I listen to new stuff. I listen to underground stuff like Esoteric and Vinny Paz and them. I listen to a bunch of it, right? And I just think about it, and I say, man, you know, I like this stuff, but it ain't what I would say. None of these guys are doing any of the things that I would say. None of these guys talk about nothing I would talk about. You know, and most of it is because they can't.
Gotcha.
You know, it's more that they can't than it is that they won't. They don't have that as a backline. There's no way. The things I say in graffiti, there's no way almost any rapper on the planet could say that. You know, besides from some of my peers, which my peers are not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand why my peers are not saying that. So, you know, again, I mean, you know, those particular things. But, you know, I know that there's room. So, you know, I'm getting ready to, it's funny that I just mentioned Tupac and Sentimental. I'm getting ready to go into my own line of sentimentalism. I got, like, this record I wrote called Die Alone.
Okay.
You know, I got a couple of other things, you know, so I'm getting ready to go on my own line. It has nothing to do with, like, Tupac. It's much more
no,
of
it's
a,
your thing.
An adult version of, like, so Die Alone, the concept of Die Alone is, you know, and of course, it's crazy. Like, same kid that sang on Crack and sang Die Alone, and my man Aaron from the Bay. And it says, the chorus is, all my life I tried to make it on my own. Now my only wish is to never die alone. And, you know, my whole band played it. Like, you know, I got my boys to come in and play it. But the way I'm writing this record is it's a visual record about a guy who tries so hard to make it. And he does everything, crosses all his T's, dots all his I's. He makes it. But in the process of making it, he loses all the people around him and everything. And at the end of it all, it's almost like there's a funeral, one of those outside funerals. Preacher's there preaching by himself. It starts raining. The preacher just looks up at the sky and just closes his Bible and walks away. You know what I'm saying? And it's what the guy wanted least to ever happen. You know, he just wanted to be liked and, you know, all that. So, you know, I'm working on those kind of little concepts and stuff. I'm gonna write about four of them and see how they come out. But you know, I got different expressions of the way that I want to do a few records. You know, of course, there's gonna be a loud record with a bunch of blaring guitars. I gotta do that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna just go for it, man.
I like that. Well, like you said, you had a lot to say. We're going to give our listeners an opportunity. We're talking about the album, Everybody But Chris. We're going to give our listeners a chance to hear one of the tracks off that. Kraken is what we're going to go do. What can you tell us about Kraken before we get into that?
Kraken is it's just a story about being an elder statesman in a present environment. So it's like the way it would be if me and all my homies would be if we was in a club and then the element that exists now walked in the door and the way we would look at them and the way they would look at us.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. Well, here we go to our listeners. Kraken from the album Everybody But Chris, my man, Daddy-O. Let's go.
You ever be in VIP and you see these young boys come in the front door and they shirt all out? Chains hanging.
You push it up on me, so tell me what's cracking.
And you try to let them know.
I'm at this cutie at the bar and I'm lacking.
You tell them.
I ain't come here for no folks, so don't have me go in.
But you gotta warn them.
There's an eagle's go bump up and tell me what's cracking.
Bright night in the city and we feeling the way. We roll in the night, sleep in the day. Club for the night is a part of the plan. No hollering at your boy, I'm a grown ass man. Now with six cars deep, headed downtown. Downtown, past the ropes, VIP bound. In the club, now we posted up. We see y'all don't see us. When you started that commotion at the front of the bar, dispatch the goons to the trunk of my car. And I ain't come for trouble, but I stay on par. Victorious in battle, but I don't spar. So we wait to see what y'all gonna do. Security in the club coming right at you. But Lady Luck must be on your side. You ran from the bar, but you sure can't hide.
You flashing up on me, so tell me what's cracking.
It's a life lesson, man.
I'm at this cutie at the bar and I'm backing, cause I ain't come here for no folks, so don't have me go in.
Your britches ain't big enough.
There's
yet.
An eagle's that's go all. Bump and tell you what's cracking.
We having a conversation about the New York Knicks. Who they gonna trade? Who they gonna pick? Look into the crowd, y'all at it again. This time bumping into one of my friends. And y'all don't know that he came with us. And you ain't tough, so we call you bluff. Left y'all thinking that we squashed the beef. That everything cool and everything peace. We about 16 deep inside alone. Flood a parking lot, so we feeling at home. But all nine of y'all got straps and vests. So y'all kind of thinking you could come out best. But I ain't coming here for no jump. Ain't really looking to go into my trunk. And still Desert Eagles go bump, bump, bump. How they sound? Punk.
You rushing up on me, so tell me what's cracking. I'm at this cutie at the bar and I'm backing. Cause I ain't come here for no folks, so don't have me go in my trunk. Cause Desert Eagles go bump, bump and tell me what's cracking. You rushing up on me, so tell me what's cracking. I'm at this cutie at the bar and I'm backing. Cause I ain't come here for no folks, so don't have me go.
Back, we are here on Down with the Kings. It's the Odd Man. I'm joined by Daddy-O. You just heard cracking off the album, Everybody But Chris. Daddy-O, tell our listeners, I'm assuming it's on iTunes. Where can they pick up a copy of that album?
So it's on iTunes. We should be up on Spotify now. And then Rap Central Station, which is the, you know, for the label distribution is Rap Central Station. So Rap Central Station is rcsmusic.com. It's available there as well.
Right. It's so different. Again, when you're talking about promoting albums and pushing your music out, you know, you can be a daddy, never daddy-o. That was what, 90, I want to say 93, 94, 93.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the way you promoted that album is very different than how you got to do it now,
different.
Isn't it? Man.
Very different. Very different. Very different. But I mean, but you know what? It's welcomed because one of the things I do like about, and you know, I've been playing in technology for a little while. One of the things I do like about the technological age is that, you know, we can express a lot of different things that we weren't able to express then. So, you know, we could put a lot more, just concept around what we do. And so, you know, I can talk back and forth to people on Twitter and Facebook and, you know, Pinterest and Instagram, yada, yada. So that makes sense. I mean, I'm even getting a good response from LinkedIn, which is weird because LinkedIn is supposed to be like a heavy-duty business network, but like I'm even getting a great response from LinkedIn.
Wow.
So, you know, it's pretty cool, you know, in terms of, you know, what could happen. And you know, what I look to do is just open up a lot of dialogue. You know, I've been doing it for a while, but I'm definitely like going full swing into this Arts Development Clinic, which is like kind of a service for, you know, new artists, up-and-coming artists that want to get their mojo started and kind of figure out what they want to do and really kind of evaluate whether, you know, the first evaluation I want them all to make is as to whether or not they even want to be in this.
Right.
A lot of people think they want to be in it and they shouldn't. You know, so, you know, just kind of evaluate that part and then, you know, what they want to do and exactly what the steps are to kind of do it, especially in 2015, 2016. So, you know, and that helps, you know, the internet really helps because, you know, they can go to a site, they can kind of get some information, you know, I can deal with a lot of things virtually before I do the one-on-one. So all that kind of works out. So I think, you know, I think it's a good thing. I mean, you know, we just have to use it to our advantage. You know, we have to use technology and not let technology use us.
No, I think that's exactly it. And it's at the end of the day, it's made for us, not the other way around. Like you identified.
Absolutely.
Important.
Absolutely.
Daddy-O, I appreciate you taking the time and being on the program. And
more importantly, you know how we do.
Yeah, no doubt, man. But more importantly, I was gonna say, you know, congratulations on the album, Everybody But Chris. It what really, you know, when you look at an artist, and again, I think you took a lot of risks, obviously, jumping out and trying this
right.
out at this stage in your career.
And the fact
that you're willing to take those risks absolutely says you know, just speaks to your commitment and what you're trying to do. And I love the fact that you're doing this because you got something to say and you got a lot of it to say.
Yeah.
And I encourage you, my man, to keep saying what you got to say.
I appreciate it, bro.
For sure. To our listeners, let's get back to the music. Let's go.
Old school, new school, and true school on Maximum FM Hip Hop.